Good morning, it's 8 o'clock. You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubenik. A C-130 military plane with a six-member crew made an emergency landing at the Montrose Regional Airport last night just after 7 o'clock. The Watch newspaper reports the crew are all safe after the landing. The plane's engine reportedly caught on fire, forcing the landing. The plane was equipped with four turboprop engines and was flying over the Telluride region towards Montrose when the fire started. According to the Watch, responders at the scene reported seeing smoke after the plane taxied off the runway, and the scene was cleared just after 9 p.m. Three people are dead after a small plane crash on Grand Mesa last night. KJCT in Grand Junction reports Mesa County Sheriff's authorities found the plane just after midnight. Three people were on board at the time of the crash, and their names aren't yet being released. The plane reportedly took off from Mac Mesa Airport, and the pilot had told the airport manager there the group was checking on livestock. No word yet on what caused the crash. And new figures show the state of Colorado is increasingly rejecting applications for medical marijuana shops. As the Denver Post reports, the state has so far approved just over 1,400 applications since it began taking them back in 2010, and only denied 226. Only one of those denials came between the months of January and September of this year, but since September, state regulators have denied 51 applications. A state spokeswoman told the Post those numbers shouldn't suggest regulators are dealing with application problems at the last minute, but rather that it simply takes longer to deny an application than to approve it. Yesterday, state regulators unveiled the new online system that'll be used to track marijuana inventory throughout the industry. With legalization, retail marijuana shops will have to attach a radio frequency tag on every plant that's grown and every bag of pot that moves from grow rooms to sales rooms. This week, Delta County commissioners heard a wide-ranging assessment of the past year's activities and a glimpse of the future from Scott Armentrout, supervisor for the Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests. Armentrout talked about roads and ATV trails, gas and coal development, grazing, weeds, and also spruce bark beetles. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
At about 3 million acres, the GMUG is the largest U.S. Forest Service area in the state, with the supervisor's office in Delta and district offices in Gunnison, Montrose, Norwood, Grand Junction, and Paonia. Over the last decade, as spruce bark beetles have advanced, the landscape south and east of Gunnison has been hit hard. The infestation has grown from a few thousand acres to some 500,000 acres. And now, Grand Mesa National Forest is under attack from the spruce beetle. Forest Supervisor Scott Armentrout.
We have a pathology group, a forest pathology group that's based out of Gunnison. And after they have reviewed the different beetle movements over the last few years and infestations that have gone on, they refer to it as a tsunami of bark beetles that's been approaching through those from the southwest, basically. And so it is literally millions of individual bark beetles that travel. And after they emerge from a tree, they fly. And so they don't fly a long ways in some cases individually, but the wind will push them, and they all go at kind of in a general period of the same time. And so they'll infest the trees in front of them.
The tunnels created by the beetle restrict the movement of nutrients and water throughout the tree. Without these nutrients, the tree eventually will die.
It's a natural event that's occurring. It's just on a scale that we're not used to, or we haven't been used to until the last couple of decades with the mountain pine beetle and lodgepole pine stands, and now we've got the spruce beetle kind of doing it at these higher elevations. And so those spruce stands have gotten to an age where they are ecologically susceptible to that type of thing.
Commissioners were most concerned about harvesting down timber in order to bolster the economy in Delta County. Commissioner Doug Atchley.
I'll just point out that up on the Uncompahgre Forest, when you go up federal grade, and you get on top of that, that spruce was so thick you can walk through it hardly. And you guys did a project up there, and it looks wonderful. That looks really, really good. The forest looks tremendous, in my opinion. And so I just encourage us to keep doing more of that, utilizing the resource we have in the forest, which in turn helps the local economy and yet preserves it for the future instead of watching it go up in smoke.
Armin Trout said the Forest Service has to focus on what is possible given its logistical and financial resources.
We want to see that material utilized too, as much as possible wherever we find it, whether it be a blowdown, whether it be a combination of just dead trees, blowdowns. But we also know that practically we can only do so many acres in a given year just with the infrastructure that exists can only do so much. The funding can only do so much, and we would love to increase the scope and scale as our chief's prerogative is. When we start talking actual acres, it's just never enough. I mean, it's, you know, my acre total this year for timber program is like 2,000 acres.
The GMUG National Forest is working on the spruce beetle epidemic as well as the decline of aspen stands. A team of specialists and stakeholders are working on the environmental impact statement for the project. For KVNF, I'm Marty Derlin.
The makeup of the state Senate will have a different look and feel when lawmakers return to the Capitol in January. They're coming off a tumultuous off-season. Two Democratic lawmakers were recalled over stricter gun laws and replaced by Republicans. And another state senator resigned over fear of facing a potential recall vote. As Benta Berkland reports, legislators are unsure how the shakeup will play out.
Former Senate President John Morris was the highest-ranking lawmaker ousted from office this year. Two of his Democratic colleagues are also gone, which means Democrats only hold a one-seat majority in the Senate.
Now that we are settled on who's going to be there during session, I will say that it's good that everything's over.
That's Democratic Senator Linda Newell of Littleton. She says the recall elections were disheartening, and she thinks they'll absolutely impact the session.
We'll see a more hesitant culture, probably. The ambience of the chamber, I think, is going to be very, unfortunately, dicey this year.
Even House Republicans, including former Speaker Frank McNulty, believe the recalls will overshadow the entire session.
I think it's important for Republicans to not overplay the effect of those recalls, but it's absolutely impossible for the Democrats to ignore the results of those recalls, and if they do, it'll be at their own peril.
Last session was one of the most controversial in memory. Lawmakers passed stricter gun laws, civil unions, driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants, same-day voter registration, and renewable energy standards for electric co-ops. Almost all the measures passed along party lines. For conservatives like Republican Steve King of Grand Junction, it wasn't pleasant.
Last session was the absolute worst session that I've ever spent here at the legislature. It was like waterboarding. It seemed like every time I caught my breath, we were in the middle of more torture.
But Democrats say they're proud of the work they did. And despite the starkly different takes on last session, members of both parties say they hope to put the past in the past and work together.
The challenges in front of us this year are the same, regardless of the fact that we've had three new members.
For Democratic Senator Pat Stebman of Denver, the recalls will be in the background. He says he wants to focus on job creation and dealing with the aftermath of devastating wildfires and floods.
To be successful in this job and in this environment, you have to have thick skin. And you have to realize that there'll be people that are trying to undermine you or people that are criticizing you. It's the nature of the process. You figure out a way to work with everybody and make sure that together we're representing our constituents and making good policy choices for the state of Colorado.
But 2014 is also an election year, with Republicans eyeing the governor's office and a potential U.S. Senate seat. That means it'll be even more challenging for ideas about bipartisanship to turn from talk to action. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Capitol coverage is funded by Pikes Peak Center, Colorado Springs. Presenting an evening with Garrison Keillor, the ambassador for Lake Wobegon. Tickets now on sale at all Tickets West locations or PikesPeakCenter.com.
And that report comes to us from Rocky Mountain Community Radio. Remember, if you miss any of our Capitol coverage reports, you can find them at our website. That's at KVNF.org. You are listening to KVNF. This is regional news for the Western Slope. Stay tuned for the Friday morning music mix. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.